It's Crossover Friday today. We missed our normal Crossover Wednesday show, but to prepare us for this game Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, we're here with Kevin Messer of Locked On Bills. Kevin, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be on. Love these crossover editions. They do awesome.
Yeah, usually we do them on Wednesday. Of course, my schedule this week prevented us from doing that on Wednesday, but wanted to give you guys a chance to hear a Bills perspective on this game. So, Kevin, I guess I want to start with asking about the Bills season in general. Obviously, last year they break the big playoff drought. I'm interested in what expectations were heading into the season and whether the extent to which Bills fans are disappointed about what's been happening.
I think they are honestly disappointed. They thought that the culture had changed. They were expecting a similar year. I wouldn't say that they were expecting to get much better than their 8-8, 9-7 experience, but how bad they've been this year, I think, was a shock. They thought Josh Allen over Tyrod Taylor would at least be a neutral swap. Josh Allen's been good with his legs, something that isn't talked about very much, that he has plus athleticism and he has won some games, including a final two-minute drill against Tennessee where he was running the ball on that drive. So I think that you thought you would at least get, and you got plus defense. Defense is definitely better than last year, which is crazy to say for a 9-7 team that made it based on defense.
You know what I'm interested in how Bills fans feel about it is, I agree with the idea of the Bills drafting a quarterback in the first round, but to me, Tyrod Taylor just seems like the perfect kind of bridge quarterback who you can throw out there in case your young guy is not ready. And I was just kind of surprised that they made that deal. I mean, am I crazy as an outsider to think that?
You aren't, but there is like a 50-50 camp on that, because I'm with you, but there is a camp that says, hey, this guy was making $15 million to be a QB2. I don't know that he's worth that. So you're going to have two sides of the coin here. It was a very polarizing player, just like Josh Allen is. But I think they were okay. They really went back to Nathan Peterman and said, for $500,000, we can have a backup quarterback, shed a $15 million salary. And don't forget, though, they did receive the 65th overall pick, which was pivotal in them getting up to get their quarterback of the defense in Tremaine Edmonds. So there were some benefits, even though I would have liked to keep Tyrod. And they probably would be competitive around 500 right now had they kept Tyrod Taylor in this game and in this lineup, really. I think it would be a different game today, but they didn't. They went Nathan Peterman, completely failed, and you're seeing 20-plus point losses. McDermott's got 7 of them now in 2 seasons. It is a talking point where when his team's playing well, they're playing well, but they have 7 20-plus point losses.
So, Kevin, we don't even know who's starting this week for the Bills at the time of this recording, do we?
We sure do not. I think you have to assume it's Nathan Peterman, but once again, I wouldn't be shocked. It's not going to be Derek Anderson, so you know that. But I wouldn't be shocked if it's Matt Barkley. But it's 33-33-33-33, and I still think there's a shot that you might even see Josh Allen. It was according to our insiders and in Bill's practice that Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, and Nathan Peterman had been taking 1/3 snaps this week. So they're trying to confuse the Jets, trying to get that competitive advantage with a bad quarterback, really bad quarterback, and then their franchise quarterback of the future. So you have like a completely weird situation going on this week. But I will say one thing on this show here for Locked On Jets. Barkley was taking some last minute practice with Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get the nod.
Just before we recorded this show, we recorded me appearing on Locked On Bills, and I made the comment, Matt Barkley is a name I have not heard in a long time.
Rightfully so, though. Oh man, Matt Barkley could be the starting quarterback in a Matt Barkley Josh McCown showdown.
This was not exactly what the NFL had in mind heading into this November
1 p.m. on 1 p.m. Sometimes the Bills Jets get that primetime game, so they did luck out there.
We thought we'd be looking Darnold Allen, and now we could be looking at what McCown, Barkley, McCown, Peter. I mean, all we need is Hackenberg to come back.
Oh man, I thought for sure that, especially with the two rookie quarterbacks and that these teams are playing this year, just like you saw with Cleveland, New York, I thought for sure you might see a Bills, New York primetime game to get the nation to see Darnold v. Allen. Good matchup for the future, hopefully. Good matchup both ways, but they did not get that this year.
So if Josh Allen plays, how would you grade his progress so far this season?
In terms of his overall body of work, or just like including camp, or are you saying just pure production standpoint?
Both.
I would say that he shocked people with his ability to to play the level he was at. I thought he won the quarterback job, just similar to Darnold and Mayfield. I thought they all won the quarterback job for week one. I would actually grade it. He was 2-2 in games he started and completed, beating the potentially Super Bowl contending Minnesota Vikings, as well as a good victory against the Titans, and should have won in Houston had he finished that game and Nathan Peterman lost on a pick six. I think you got to grade his production very well for what people thought of Josh Allen. I mean, I thought most people thought he'd get a redshirt year. Most people thought he was definitely nowhere close to being ready to play. Came in, commanded the offense, big leadership. That's a plus category for Josh Allen, athleticism and leadership. You know, two topics that, do they translate to an NFL quarterback? They can. But those were two things that he is plus in at this point in his career. You see the team more fired up and playing better when he's in the lineup straight up, as compared to the team when Nathan Peterman trots on the field. I don't even know that they care. I'm not kidding. I think that you see some lapses on offense that you wouldn't see if a commanding commissioner like a Josh Allen's in the lineup, which is crazy to say. But I think you have to grade him as well as you can for the four games that he has played, four games that he's played and completed. And I think that he'll be the team's quarterback for the 6 weeks out of the bye. I don't know that they're going to risk him back in New York, even if he is ready to go, even though I think that they kind of should.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean, because I just imagine if you're like an offensive player, it's got to be discouraging to go out there, you know, run your routes hard, or, you know, try and block as hard as you can, and then have Peterman go out and just kind of give the game away.
Absolutely. You saw the defense play like lights out against New England, lights out. If you were happened to check that Monday Night Football game out, maybe a week or two weeks ago now, I mean, they held Brady 9 points through three quarters. They were playing as good as they had all season and literally couldn't move the ball. Like, I mean, even we'll trade for the Jets offense, anything that we could do to be not down 9-6 in a game where you held Brady to 9 points and then let up a pick six, literally still only let up 16 points to Tom Brady, which should be, you know, you got to score 17 points, you win that football game. Instead, you threw a pick six and you actually lost to your own defense. Your defense, you lost to your own offense on offense because a pick six negated their 6 points. I mean, it's a challenge for this team to actually put together really good game plans. I think you'll see the team, if they get up, they're really buzzing. If you get up on the Bills, and that's the Jets and that's any team, it's pretty much game over. But if they get up, the defense can play it at such a high level to where it can compound, and that's kind of what happened in Minnesota. And then Josh Allen's an okay enough player at this point in his career to complete that win. Nathan Peterman is just, at any point, he can throw just pivotal. He cannot make out routes. So at any point, he can throw a pivotal pick six.
All right, so let's just put Peterman in the back of our minds for the moment. Let's assume he's not playing.
No, I wouldn't assume that.
If this Bills offense is working well, what's happening? What's the strength of this offense?
The strength of this offense, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, and not for good reasons. You're still going to say it moves the ball productively, so it's not necessarily a super run-heavy. Brian Daboll's been actually fairly interested in passing the ball. So if we're saying Peterman's out, we're either assuming Allen's playing, because we know Anderson's not. So if Allen's in, you're moving the ball. Quarterback's getting athletic plays. He's moving the ball in third and five plus with his legs, kind of similar to a Tyrod Taylor. They're getting some plus yardage runs out of Chris Ivory up the middle, some different type of schemes. You've seen them play Wildcat at times. They're just doing anything they can to kind of switch up an offense and get a little bit of production out of a pretty bad unit. So I think you see a little bit of everything, a real balance. And a lot of people would expect you to say, well, you're playing the Bills, LeSean McCoy, he's going to say just run the ball. I mean, maybe, but in the way that this offense is built, it's not going to be LeSean McCoy getting 30 snaps. I mean, that's just not how they're going to win right now, especially with their negative run blocking scheme. So LeSean McCoy in space, screen game, you're going to see a lot of screens, and you're going to see a lot of quarterback movement. And that's what I would expect to see if Josh Allen's in, if Matt Barkley's in. Honestly, I cannot tell you how would that even be effective. I've no idea. We didn't even see the guy in training camp.
So I'll take it, based on what you're saying, the offensive line is an issue for this Bills team.
It is. But I will preface it by saying, really, on one avenue, they can't run the ball with a good running back that everyone knows, a good fullback, good tight end blocking. You know, they focus on running. The receivers are able to block down the field. The issue is run blocking from their five offensive linemen. It's poor. They're all negative. All negative run blockers toward the bottom of the league. But they're fine pass blocking. I mean, Josh Allen was one of his biggest problems so far, was he was taking sacks that were his fault. Maybe and or the receivers not winning routes was not necessarily the offensive line. I think PFF had only given them two or three offensive line sacks through his four starts. So they're actually fairly okay pass blocking. I wouldn't say it's an area that they lose in a lot. They had plenty of time in New England. They had plenty of time in Chicago. Lots of good pass blocking. I mean, Nathan Peterman gets the ball out really quick, for better or for worse, usually for worse. But Josh Allen would make plays with his legs. He would stick in the pocket a little bit too long. A rookie quarterback. But so you get plus on the pass blocking, which is fine. And then it's just real bad in run block. I've never actually seen in my day a Bills team be so poor at run blocking.
What's the caliber of the targets in the passing game?
Not good. in terms of the skill of their positional players.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, you're talking about Calvin Benjamin, a guy they went and spent a third round pick on. It just hasn't amounted to anything. You've seen him get more targets. He can do what he can do. I think he's good in a good offense personally. He took a knock on Cam Newton earlier in the offseason. I don't know. I think Cam Newton kind of made him at times, but he's going to be a team's wide receiver too, and I think you'll actually see him go somewhere in this offseason and maybe play back to his stature. I think if he's getting singled up and he's against a small corner, there's a good matchup there. Zay Jones is coming on. He's probably their best target. Does get open, does win routes. Has had a problem with drops in the past, but he's a guy that I could see really develop in his third season next year, like, you know, similar to a Tyler Boyd. He's kind of a similar player. He's way faster than people would think. He has really good route running ability. He's pretty much their only route weapon if they can throw the ball to him. And then you got nothing. I mean, you have Andre Holmes, Ray McLeod, guys that shouldn't even be on this roster. Isaiah McKenzie, a guy that they just claimed off of waivers from Denver. You're going to see him a lot in the return game, 6 fumbles last year for Denver. But honestly, the Bills have been so poor in the return game, they're looking for an upgrade. So I would say that's a key to this game. If McKenzie actually gets some plus yardage, or if he's putting the ball on the ground for the Jets to take advantage that way, which the Bills special teams have been very poor. And then Terrell Pryor, a guy you guys know, who honestly steps into third receiving role, must be why he signed here. And he's going to get snaps. And I would be shocked if he gets less than 5 targets. So a guy that they're going to immediately throw to. And lastly, they like their tight end unit. I mean, they like Charles Clay, Jason Kroom a lot. You'll see Logan Thomas, a converted quarterback as well. So they like their converted quarterbacks. But Kroom was playing really well. I thought he was willing to take a big step, made a big catch in New England, happened to drop the ball in the end zone, thought he caught it, as well as made a big fumble last week in Chicago that actually was returned for a touchdown. So the Bills actually had 2 14 points returned. The Bears only put up 189 yards. So the defense is just kind of befuddled with how they can keeping teams under 200 yards and losing games by double digits. It's something that's going to take a toll on them eventually, but they do like that tight end unit. Charles Clay's a plus run blocker, plus, you know, if he's getting targets, he's a fine pass catcher. So they like Charles Clay. We'll see what he happens. I think his tenure on this team's over. He's making $9 million. It might be time for Jason Kroom. And really, this is Zay Jones, man. There's not much else there.
All right, so let's move over to the other side of the ball. You've mentioned that you're kind of down on the Bills' offense, but you've also kind of alluded to the fact that you think this is a very good Bills defense.
Honestly, I think they're wasting one of their best defenses we've seen. They had a similar defense under Jim Schwartz and Doug Marrone. But that team ended up going 9-7. That's where this team should be at defensively. They're at least, I don't know, with a competent offense, and that offense had Kyle Orton. With a competent offense, it's the same as last year, 9-7, 10-6. With a good offense, it's, you know, going pretty far. It's a really plus defense. I mean, you've had Matt Milano come out of nowhere as a 5th-round pick last year out of Boston College. He's been a top 10 linebacker by PFF. He's just all over the place. You'll see him this week. Tremaine Edmonds, he was out of his non-contact jersey. I think he'll get clearance, but I don't know that for sure. We'll see if anything comes out post-recording, but he's just their future at middle linebacker. And guy is an absolute athletic machine, has his lapses, is negative in coverage at this point in his career, but he's just such a pro run defender and just leader that the team is going to continue as a 20-year-old to develop him. Lorenzo Alexander is having his normal late career 5-7 sack season and just all over the place, and really is a good third linebacker on this team. And then they do have plus run, rushing the passer, and Trent Murphy. He's not playing, but they've gotten a lot out of Shaq Lawson finally. And Jerry Hughes is obviously one of the best ranked defensive ends by PFF. just a havoc wrecker. And then they have fine defensive tackle presence in Kyle Williams and Star Latulale, who help free up those DNs, and Jordan Phillips and Harrison Phillips, the backup Phillips, who are just fine backup defensive tackles. And then you're going to have plus, you're going to have a shutdown corner in Trey White, who's been shadowing first receivers all season. Jordan Poirier and Micah Hyde are safety combo they really, really like here. They're both signed long-term. And their only hole in this entire defense is cornerback two, which they just let Philip Gaines go. Had some bad luck with Davis retiring at halftime in week two, which is just ridiculous. And then, they had to put Gaines in from a cornerback four to cornerback two. But they really like Taron Johnson. It's their nickel corner guy they drafted in the fourth round. He's been very, very good. I think he's second in rookie PFF cornerback rankings. But you'll see Ryan Lewis at cornerback two. You can tell me if you think that you guys have an expectation to be able to exploit, your second receiver would be a win matchup for you guys.
I mean, conceivably, the Jets receivers have been kind of up and down this year, so nothing would really shock me with that crew. Guy you mentioned, Kyle Williams, man, he's been doing it forever. I mean, it's unbelievable. That guy's still out there playing and playing well.
Yeah, I mean, if he was on better teams, it would be talked about a little bit more. He last year was like his only semi-decent team, and then a Doug Marrone year where there's, two out of like the last 4 years, you had a couple of good Bills teams. But other than that, I mean, he's been on really bad football teams. He's like the Tom Brady of defensive tackle. I'm not kidding. The guy just doesn't stop playing. He gets sacked every game. He's going to play. I would assume he comes back next year. Unless he really sees his Bills team going backwards. But he loves Buffalo. I would assume he plays again next year. It was said to take $5 million, which was less to play in Buffalo. He's in a perfect defense. I mean, he continues to help grow his defensive line. I don't see him stopping. He's still playing at a pretty high level. So he's an interesting player. He's a guy that is loved here and really one of the only, at this point of the Bills tenure, the really only stalwart on this entire roster.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive the way this defense is played. As you mentioned, they had a player retire at halftime of a game this year, and when I saw that happen, I said that's the kind of thing that would happen to the Jets. So maybe it's just AFC East suffering.
It is. I think it's all it's like the curse of the Greg Bambino for Boston fans, which doesn't exist anymore as they win in every sport. But it's definitely some type of Tom Brady curse. I swear to you, all three of us just have such our big challenges with this, and we cannot get out of our own shadow. And we generally, for the most part, take two losses every year and give up the division. So like we're always, in negative territory, right?
Yeah. And what amazes me is, the Patriots deserve credit for what they've done. But one of my points is that it's very rare that one of these other teams is actually good enough to challenge them. It's like, that's part of the story. It's just, the Patriots just have not had great competition in this division. It's like two automatic wins a year against every team, except the odd year the Jets have a good team, the Bills make a playoffs once, but it's like a walkover in this division. It's been that way for like decades.
There were those 2000s or like 2005 to 2008 like Dolphins teams that occasionally beat the Patriots. I remember them having some struggles against them, but like you really hit it on the head. We're all competing against New England and for we're all turning over coaches and quarterbacks, and at least you can say, I mean, the Dolphins are the better team of these three right now between us three, but I don't think they are long-term. I mean, they don't really have a long-term plan in place, and I don't really like much of their roster, to be honest, but the Bills and the Jets at least are putting forth a plan, which they're trying to develop their franchise quarterbacks for when Brady retires, right?
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, I've never really felt – I don't know how it is on the Bills side, but the Bills are the one team in the division just from the Jets side that – I don't have a ton of animosity towards them, and probably because the two teams have never been good at the same time. When the Jets have been up, the Bills have been down. Jets weren't that good during the Bills' great stretch in the 90s. So I don't – I mean, is it the same way from the Bills' side? Is there a lot of animosity?
You know what's funny? So I can speak. So real quickly, the Bills, Buffalo, Rochester, which is our main community, and then obviously some of Ontario, Canada, but mostly Bills, Buffalo, Rochester. It's a pretty split town in terms of baseball. So I'm a big Yankees fan, right? So a lot of people ask me like, well, how can you like the Yankees and the Jets? Because I'll throw it to the fake Red Sox fans around here and I'll be like, well, how do you, you root for the Red Sox on Saturday and then you're going to go turn around and root against the Patriots on Sunday? It doesn't make any sense. So my argument is always like, I don't have a problem with the Jets. I don't have a problem with the Giants. Like there's no issues there. Like we don't hate each other. Like we hate the Patriots. Like they come in and just disrupt and just cause problems. So I don't have a problem with the Jets. If the Bills weren't a team or didn't exist, it would be, I'd root for the Jets or the Giants.
Yeah, that's I thought like maybe the Rex Ryan years were a little different, but he didn't even last that long enough at Buffalo for me to really.
It really still wasn't a thing, in my opinion. Like it, I don't know. I never really felt terrible, and actually, a lot of people from New York that are Jets fans actually come up to our schools, universities up here, University at Buffalo, where I went. I actually had a lot of Jets friends from Long Island and other places down there.
All right, so Kevin, let's finish. How are the Bills special teams?
Poor. I mean, it's poor. It's a unit. Danny Crossman survived many coaching staffs. It's absolutely shocking. They've cycled punter. Colton Schmidt was cut for being poor. They signed Corey Bjork as a guy that had never punted before in the NFL, including preseason, and they signed him from New England. They thought New England was trying to pull a fast one, cutting him. He was actually pretty good, left-footed punter with power. He gets hurt, and then they sign Colton Schmidt, which is funny about Colton Schmidt. He was partying in our parking lots on week one and week two. With the fans just to celebrate with the team. That's where he was at in his career. And then Corey Bayorquez gets hurt and now he's our punter. Very poor. They're signing Isaiah McKenzie off of waivers, a guy that Denver had given up on their draft pick already. You know, it was time for Denver to say that what we were talking about with maybe you just got to give up on a guy. And that's what I think you see here with Isaiah McKenzie. I think there's going to be another negative play. They're okay in coverage, so that's not going to be their problem, covering a punt. Covering a kick, but it's definitely a negative return unit and it's definitely a negative punting, but they do have a just dynamic, just automatic kicker in Steven Hauschka, who, I mean, he can kick from anywhere and he's probably the Bills. They don't kick enough, but he's probably definitely one of their huge bright spots.
All right. Now, Kevin, let's do predictions for the game. Again, we recorded an episode of Locked On Bills with me appearing as a guest before we did this. So I will tell you guys that the over under for this game is going to be 29. Kevin, why don't you start with
it? Sure thing. I got to give you two, right? I think it's fair just because you can't make a prediction without quarterbacks. So if Matt Barkley is playing, I mean, I just, or Nathan Peterman, I guess, I'm not going to have different predictions there. It's going to be 21-10 New York. There's just nothing else I can actually say that would convince me otherwise. But if Josh Allen plays, I think it's a completely different game from a Bills side. And I'll say 16-13 Buffalo. If Josh Allen suits up, which I'm not sure it's super likely at this point, John, but that's what I'm going to go with.
And I'm going 16-13 Jets. So again, if you see Josh Allen on the field, 29 is your number for the over-under.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks.
Kevin, thanks so much for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.